We've got to go when we're perplexed to what the Word says. And the Word says that when we stand and pray, we heap ashes upon those we hate. Is that what it says? Come on. Is that what it says? Otherwise, we're going in a whole new direction real quick. Y'all don't want me to go in that direction today. No, it doesn't. It says when we stand and pray, we're to forgive. And forgiveness is not, but if I ever get you in the crosshairs of my 22, I'm going to shoot your butt. Excuse me. Erase that. That wasn't in the script. Forgive me, God. We're called to forgive. We're called to stand before Christ in a standpoint of humility and forgiveness. Advent heralds to us the arrival of God in us, with us. Yes, it heralded the arrival of the Christ child 2,000 years ago. It heralds the arrival of the Messiah coming again. Did the first happen? Then make rest assured the second will happen. The earth will not pass away until the day of Christ's arrival. It is the time when God comes back to man. It is a time when God shares His love and affords us the opportunity to share His love to each other. Last Sunday, we lit the first candle of Advent. The candle represented preparation. I ask you today, are we prepared? Are we prepared for the Most High to come? The great day of the Lord is near. It's coming quickly. It's closer to us today than it's ever been in history. And that great day is whether we go individually in that train that Jesus began being among those reborn, or whether we look and see the sky. As surely as we are living and breathing today, the Christ will come again. Advent gives us, therefore, 4 weeks to ponder where we are in God's creative order. As the psalm says, He plans great things. See, God is planning. God has a purpose. God has a goal. God has for you business guys a business plan, and He will not depart from it. We have 4 weeks to ponder where we are in God's creation. Advent can be the time when we as individuals, as members of whole families of God, take the mirror and turn it on ourselves. Take an assessment of where we are as a being of Christ. Look at our reflection and ponder our place within our family. Isaiah expresses Advent as a hope. Would that God would come and find us prepared. In the Gospels of John suggests, rather, that because of the demands of life that we put on each other, it is very easy to forget what life really is all about. Two questions we need to remember this morning, saints. We are, two statements, we are because of God. We have because of God. We are the benefactors of a wonderful God. Without our belief in God, the world would be a whole lot different place. Advent gives us 4 weeks that we should reflect on how we need to heed John's calling, prepare ye the way for the Lord. Repent and receive God. Oh, I'm speaking today to believers, I know that. But lest you forget, you're also flesh and human. And sometimes our minds, if not our actions, don't live up to the glory. Sometimes we get embittered. Sometimes we get mad. Sometimes, I'm sure y'all don't. I know I'm preaching to myself, because anytime I point a finger out, I got 4 pointed back at me, or in this case, 8 and 2. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Advent gives us 4 weeks to take an inventory, to reflect on our roles. Advent gives us 4 weeks that we should try to balance our lives, our busy schedule, with the times for stillness and reflection. There are some of us that get so busy being busy that when we lay down at night, we wonder if we ever got out of bed, because maybe the day was just a nightmare. But like John, who lived in the wilderness and ate locusts and wild honey and focused on the things of God, maybe we need to do that a little bit. Maybe we need to reflect on what God has done for us. What He and His planning, in His planning, has established. It says in the Psalms, the Lord has done great things for us. Well, what has He done? Beginning with Adam, when we had totally botched having any way back to Him, He brought His Son in this world, who laid His life down, once sufficient, complete sacrifice for our souls, that we might be able to say, Abba, Father, and know in our heart that we've been received, forgiven, redeemed. What's the word? Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, Advent gives us a time when we as individuals need to try to balance our lives again. Hey, guys, don't fill your every moment with activities. One of the worst things that people express in counseling is they hate it when there's silence. Sometimes our lives, we need silence. We need to stop. Turn off the talking heads, the inappropriate comedies, whatever it is on TV. Turn off the radio and turn in to God. We need times to reflect, because the stillness allows things that matter to rise up in our hearts. See, we can get so busy being busy that we don't deal with what's in our hearts. And reflection gives us room to ask the questions that we otherwise dare not, will not, nor want to ask. Questions like, so what is it I really believe? Why do I believe it? What difference is it making on how I live? What do I give God? What of mine belongs to God? Questions that we don't like to ask, because guess what? God will answer. And then, oh my God, we got to change. Just when I thought things were going well, you want me to do what? You want me to go where? I remember early in our Christian walk, there, Jan had a had a saying, "Here I am, Lord, send him. We'll support, we'll stay here, send him." This is the lady that said it would be fun to be in a covered wagon. Trust me, she was having a momentary lapse of consciousness. See, Advent is a time that should cause us to do two things. To watch with expectancy. And I don't mean the type of expectancy that a rabid Jaguar fan has during a game. Sometimes you can expect things just aren't going to happen. But we have an expectancy and a truth to know that God is coming, because we have His promise, and He's not a man that He should lie, and He's never, every promise that He's made has been yes and amen, and though we don't understand them, yet will He redeem the hour for us. So we should watch with expectancy, and then we wait. I've got news for you this morning. Jesus isn't coming to the old Bethlehem this Christmas. That Bethlehem is in history. No, the Bethlehem that He's coming to has moved, and it is located where we are, where we love, we trust, we laugh, we cry, we take a stand, whatever we do, we forgive, we do whatever we do. The Bethlehem that God's coming for is the Bethlehem within you and me. And that's God's gift to us, not a challenge. What do we do with that knowledge? Oh, personally, I thank God. I thank God that it ended up to me. I've blown it so many ways. I thank God that there are things in the Bible that we don't understand, like, what is the ultimate sin of insulting the Holy Spirit? I thank God I don't know. I would have done it. There was a time in my life I was so angry and so mad. If it could be done, I would do it just to test God. I thank God that I've caused Him to laugh a lot, because He loved me in spite of it. We need to know for ourselves when it's God calling. We need times of stillness and reflection in this season where we can intentionally bring peace to our day and hear Him. Husbands, I know you've had a really tough time at work, but your wife's been at home with the children, and sometimes the children aren't always the little angels that you think they are, and sometimes when you get home, you need to take the kids so the wife can have some peace and reflection time and hear God for herself. I didn't know so few children could make such large rackets until yesterday at the Christmas party. There was only 41 people there. I would have sworn there were 81 kids. And it was a fun time. This isn't a criticism, because the kids were allowed to be kids. But we were in an echo chamber. So when someone went, "Ah!" you heard, "Ah, ah, ah, ah." And about the third, "Ah!" someone else yelled, "Whoa, whoa!" And so you got, "Ah, ah, whoa, whoa." We experienced community yesterday, and it was fun. And for y'all that weren't there, you don't understand what I'm saying, but it was exciting. And nobody got hurt. Maybe a few eardrums for us old guys got burst. The food was good. The fellowship was good. But as surely as a group, we need to get together and have community. As individuals, we need to be alone and silent before the Lord our Maker. This is the season of Advent that we're in, that we stop and we look to God. So I made a a statement last week. It wasn't on the agenda. I'm famous for doing that. But I asked y'all in the season of Advent to take a day a week and to fast and to pray. And pray, specifically pray for your rector's council. We need your help. We need the power of the living God in our lives even more because we're trying to make decisions. We're going forward in January in some major ways. And we want to make sure that we've heard God and not ourselves. And so I need your prayer. Nothing more, nothing bad. Nothing, oh my goodness, what's happening? It's all good. We just want y'all joining with us in praying and fasting and seeking God. As someone said to me, and I won't mention Father Melanson's name. Father, when are you going to get us out of the cave of Adullam? We've got to move forward. But first we've got to move forward. We together have got to move forward. We individually have got to move forward. God has a new purpose, not a new purpose, has a purpose and a day for our existence. And we want to be in His timing. I can't tell you how many times I've been right and dead wrong. I've had good purpose for what I was wanting to do, way out of God's timing. And it doesn't work. I love God's word to Israel in Chronicles where He says, go up to the pass. Prepare for war. Go to the pass and watch what I'll do. And He brought confusion to the enemy and they killed themselves. If we let God do what God's going to do in God's timing, all we need to do is be prepared and watch and marvel at what He's going to do. I believe without a doubt that I had the privilege a number of years ago of seeing God's timing. There was a group in town, they're still here, and y'all know that we support them called EPS. And because of Liz Looker, and others, we proved a need that was always here in this community. And EPS opened a shop. They saw what just a little counseling, just a little stirring of the community, what the needs were. God, that was God. And EPS came in and did what they needed to do. And other churches got involved and they needed to get involved. But I saw the hand of God in that. Because of just a few who had a passion that God had put in their life. See, that's God. It's not hard when we're on His team. And it's fun to watch Him move. In this time of reflection that we're called to, in the point of Advent, I pray that you pray for your rector's council. God gives us the opportunity to do something for Him and in our lives. We are here. Hear this. Saints of God. We think, you know, someone died that was on the news. They were 118 and we think that's so long. No, we're tenants of this world for a very short time. In comparison to the eternity that we're all going to live somewhere, we're here on this world for such a short time. And we try to fill it with things. We try to fill it with cars and monies and whatever, and it's stuff, and it becomes our gods before we ever realize it. But we got to realize that we're called to serve a larger God who's responsible for our eternity. And in this time of Advent, we need to lay the things of this world down and pick up the Word of God and focus on it and say to God, what would you have me do in my short time that's left? Now we can choose not to respond to God's call because He gave us that freedom. of choice. Hardest thing for me to understand. How a God who's full of mercy and love will allow me to go to hell. But he gave me individual right. He gave me individual choice, and he will not go back on that, even if he knows the result is catastrophic. He loves me enough to give me the rope to hang myself, but give me all the cause not to use it. If we choose not to respond, if we choose to ignore God's call for our life, where is the good in that? Saints of God, us Americans are far too comfortable. I read an article yesterday that says 1,100 Christians are martyred in China every day. We hear some stories in the Middle East of churches being blown up. I will tell you, the public news media hides the truth of the amount of people. We don't understand what it is to be ridiculed and mocked for our belief. I believe that day is coming. Has nothing to do with anything that happened today, and it has everything to do if Christians don't stand up today. If we don't repent, Chronicles again says, if my people who are called by my name will repent of their evil ways and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and heal their lands. Our lands need to be healed. Abortion, the blood of the innocents is upon all of us if we don't do something about it. And I don't mean you got to go stand on a given corner at a given time. No, but we've got to, in prayer, we've got to, in attitude, somehow we've got to address the murder of innocents in this nation. We've got to address the murders of Christians around the world. It's not enough to say, but by the will of God, I'm here. And not there. In this Advent season, I call us to being silent before the Lord and say, what is my part? What is my duty? What is your will, Lord, for my life? John the Baptist gave his head. It's pretty drastic, but not before he fulfilled his calling, which is pretty fantastic. We're called to live above and be a light. Are we being a light to our husbands, our wives, our children, our neighbors? Are we making a difference in how we proceed every day in life? Or when we're out of the confines of this church, is there no difference in our stories and in our jokes than we find in the world? Be a light this Advent season to those you are around. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.